Today is the most sacred and auspicious day of Sri Madhavendra Puri's disappearance. The life of Sri Madhavendra Puri was dedicated to the service of the Lord, and in a large part to the service of the deity Gopal. And at the end of his life, he was served most faithfully by his disciple Ishwarapuri, who was so blessed by his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, that he was accepted as spiritual master by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So these are two themes that we will discuss in relation to Sri Madhavendra Puri: the service of the deity and the service of the spiritual master. And as we did last night, I will ask a few of you to explain your conception of the deity and of the spiritual master, because we will be discussing service to the deity and service to the spiritual master. So we want to make sure we have a proper understanding. So I will call on three of you, as I did last night, not the same three. I'll begin with Sanjay, and then I will ask Swati, and then I will ask Krishna. So, Sanjay, what is your understanding of the deity, the Archa Vigraha? Do we have this second microphone? And then the spiritual master or guru?
Analogy, the sun is always there, even if we are within four walls, but we're not able to see or appreciate the magnificence of the sun until we put a window into those walls. And the guru represents that clear path, that window that connects us with the Lord and Krishna. So that is my understanding, Maharaj. That's my concept. Limited as a baby.
All right. Thank you. And Swati?
The deity to me is a way we can forge a relationship with the Lord, because we personally can't know Him unless, like, we see a person. We can't really know the person until we've seen the person or served the person. So when you serve the deity to me, at least it's when you get to forge a relationship with the Lord. And for the spiritual master, Guru to me is someone who, by serving him, you're serving the Lord, in a sense, because he's the representation of the Lord. So, unless you can, if you can't serve the Guru properly, then you can't really serve the Lord properly. Understanding.
All right, very good, thank you. And Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. My conception of deities are, they are none other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are sitting there for continuous benediction and for us to build a relationship with the Lord, like other two devotees also mentioned. They help us build the relationship, whether lovingly taking care of them, offering prasad, or nicely dressing them up. So with all these various activities, they give us an opportunity to develop a relationship with the Lord Himself, because deity is none other than Lord Himself. That's my conception of deities. And regarding Guru is none other than the representative of the Supreme Personality of God that comes here to take away the ajnana and thereby helping us realize God. So that, to me, Guru is almost like Pratyaksha Daiva, or they are representatives of God, but they are also as great as God for me. So that's my conception. Thank you much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. So, within Vedic civilization, there are basically two conceptions of the worshipable deity and the spiritual master. One based on the impersonal point of view, and one based on the personal point of view. Now, the essence of the Vedic scriptures is the Bhagavad Gita. All of the great acharyas in India have accepted the authority of the Gita. Even Shankaracharya, and of course Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Vishnu Swami, and Nimbarkacharya. And beyond the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Jiva Goswami has given extensive proofs to establish that Srimad Bhagavatam is the ultimate authority or the highest authority in Vedic scripture. So in the in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, Brahmano hi pratisht aham, that I am the basis of the impersonal Brahman. And Srimad Bhagavatam states, Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaneti sabkete, that there is a non-dual advaya, non-dual substance, but that non-dual substance is realized in three features: Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. Brahman means the impersonal light, Brahmajyoti. And generally, the impersonal Brahmajyoti is the goal of the impersonalist, jnanis. They want to merge and become one with the impersonal Brahman. And that is realization of the sat aspect of the absolute, the eternity. Then beyond Brahman is Paramatma, the Lord within the heart. And he is the goal of the yogis. Dhyana vastita tadgatena manasi pasyanti yam yogina. But the yogis meditate on the form of the Lord within their hearts. And realization of Paramatma is realization of Sat, eternity, and Chit, knowledge or cognizance. And the last word in God realization is Bhagavan. Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. There are many expansions of Bhagavan, Krishna. And Srimad Bhagavatam lists about 26 of them. But at the end of the list, the Bhagavatam says, Ete chamsa kalapunsam krishnas tu bhagavan swayam, that all of the personalities mentioned in the list are either plenary portions of the Lord or portions of plenary portions of the Lord. But Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna, is himself the original Supreme Personality of God. And he is accepted as such by all the acharyas, great acharyas. Even Shankaracharya, on his deathbed, he said, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Bhaja Govinda, Mudamate. He addressed his disciples that what will all of your Sanskrit grammar and word jugglery do for you? Just worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. So in the impersonal conception, the idea is that, well, we don't need to discuss that so much. And then with the spiritual master, yes, he is the representative of God. He's the representative of Krishna. He gives knowledge of Krishna. It removes our ignorance and gives knowledge. And he engages us in the service of Krishna. He trains us in the service of Krishna. And again, with the spiritual master, there's the impersonal conception impersonal and personal conceptions. In the impersonal conception, one's goal is to merge and become one with God. And in that conception, because the ultimate goal is to merge and become one with God and give up one's individual identity, the relationship with the spiritual master is temporary, because ultimately all of the forms are temporary and illusory, and the ultimate goal is to merge and become one with Brahman. And the same would apply to the worship of the deity. It's temporary, because the ultimate goal is to go beyond the form of the deity and merge and become one with Brahman. Whereas in the personal conception of the spiritual master, the Vaishnava conception, the relationship is eternal. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jive Sarupai Krishnar Nityadas, the constitutional position of the living entity is he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Eternal means no end. In the Bhagavad Gita also he says, Krishna says, Mame Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, that the living entities are my fragmental parts and parcels, and they are eternal. They're eternally fragmental parts and parcels. They never actually can become one with God. Although they can temporarily give up their individual existence, and that's also very unlikely, very hard to attain. But at least in theory, we could say that for some time they can enter the Brahma Jyoti, but they never cease to exist as individual souls. They just suspend their individual activities. But eventually, they become restless because there's no variety, there's no enjoyment, and they fall down. So Srimad Bhagavatam also says, Aruya Krichena Param Padam Padam Atanti Adya, that they imagine themselves to be superior, and they think themselves to be liberated, but they fall down, patanti ada. Why? Because they neglect the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. So it is not it's not a permanent liberation. It's a sort of liberation, but it's not a permanent liberation, because one has not reached one's constitutional place in the service of the lotus feet of the Lord. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, yitva anyata rupam svarupena vyavastitaha. one is situated in one's, yeah, mukti, yes, mukti hitva anyata rupa swarupena vyavastita, that mukti means to give up, you know, the different transitory forms in the material world, the different material bodies, and to be situated in one's swarup, or one's constitutional position as the eternal servant of Krishna. That is real mukti. From this very basic discussion of, you know, Brahman, Paramatman, Bhagavan, and the spiritual master, we will discuss a little about Madhavendra Puri, who was on the highest platform of love of God, and that is actually the goal of life. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself, says, prema purnartha maha, the highest achievement is pure love for Krishna. And Madhavendra Puri was the emblem of pure love for Krishna. So, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes that when Madhavendra Puri was visiting different holy places, he came to Govardhan Hill. And Madhavendra Puri had a principle that he would not make any effort to get food. If someone gave him food, he would accept it, and if not, he would fast. So when he came to Govardhan Hill, he was fasting, and he sat down near Govinda Kund and was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And in the late afternoon, a young cowherd came to him, and he said, you know, who are you? What is your practice? Why are you fasting? In my village, no one fasts. And he delivered him a pot of milk. And he said that some ladies came earlier to draw water from the pond, and they saw you here, so they sent me with milk. And then the boy disappeared. So Madhavendra Puri drank the milk and cleaned the pot, waiting for the boy to return and collect it. And he couldn't sleep. He just spent the rest of the night chanting. And towards the end of the night, he dozed off, and the same boy appeared to him in a dream and told him that I was being worshipped at Govardhan Hill, but when the Muslims came to attack, the pujari hid me in the bushes. And then he fled out of fear of the Mohammedans. And since then, I have been hidden in in the bushes. And sometimes I feel very cold. Sometimes I feel very hot. I'm exposed to torrents of rain and strong winds. And I am in a very difficult position here. But I have been watching you and observing your love for me and thinking, when will Madhavendra Puri come and serve me? So in the dream, the cowherd boy took Madhavendra Puri's hand and led him to the place where the deity of Gopal was hidden in the bushes at Govardhan Hill. And he said, when you awake in the morning, I want you to gather all the village people and bring them here and take me out of the bushes and install me on top of Govardhan Hill and worship me. And then Madhavendra Puri awoke from his dream and he took bath and maybe after sunrise he called the villagers and told them about the dream, and they went and got the deity of Gopal. Now, as several of you said, the deity is Krishna, but he comes in a form that we can see, we can touch, and we can serve in an intimate way. And the idea of deity worship is that in the material concept of life, everyone thinks of himself first. I mean, that is the nature of the false ego. Everyone thinks that he is the center of the creation. And he thinks in terms of his own pleasure, his own benefit, his own comfort. And we all have that tendency, to some extent at least. The idea of deity worship is, instead of ourselves being the center, the deity is the center. Instead of thinking we're the enjoyer, we see the deity as the enjoyer. Instead of thinking we're the proprietor, we think the deity is the proprietor. Instead of thinking we're the controllers, we see that the deity is the controller. And it's the custom in some temples that the pujari will read the account of all the income and expenditure, to read the account to the deity, because the deity is the proprietor. So we're accountable to the deity. So Gopal appearing to Madhavendra Puri and saying he's feeling distressed, he's feeling hot, he's feeling cold, that is on the liberated platform of loving reciprocation. Because otherwise Krishna is Satchitananda Vigraha. He doesn't have a physical body. Doesn't have a material body. He's not subject to the pains and pleasures of the material body. But he, in order to give us an opportunity to serve him and reciprocate with him in love, he feels hungry, he feels hot, he feels cold. He needs protection. He needs nourishment, and that enables us to awaken our love for him and serve him. So Madhavendra Puri did as the deity directed, And I hope before I leave, I'll read that section of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about how Madhavendra Puri exhumed the deity of Gopal and how he worshipped the deity with great pomp and opulence and distributed prasad. It's very relevant because here we have the Giriraj Shila, and one of our main festivals is Govardhan Puja and Anakut. So Madhavendra Puri celebrated the Anakut festival after installing the deity of Gopal. And he remained there at Govardhan for 2 years, serving the deity. And gradually, he initiated some disciples and trained his disciples in the worship so that they could take over the worship. And then the deity Gopal appeared to him again in a dream and told him, because it was becoming warm. Is it warm in this room? Maybe we don't need so much heat. Maybe Radhanila Madhava are feeling warm. Therefore, we are feeling warm. So the deity appeared to Madhavendra Puri and said, "I'm feeling very warm. In spite of all the good care that the pujaris are giving me, I still feel very warm. So I would like you to go to Jagannath Puri and get sandalwood and camphor. And you bring it here, and then you make the sandalwood pulp and mix it with camphor and apply it to my body, and that will cool me." So Madhavendra Puri awoke from the dream and arranged for the proper service of the deity in its absence, and he went by foot to Jagannath Puri. It was a long trek. Anyway, there were many, many difficulties involved in getting the sandalwood and camphor and carrying it by foot. And in those days, India was ruled by the Muslims, and there were Muslim tax collectors and toll collectors along the way, and he faced so many difficulties. But on the way back, he stopped at the temple of Gopinath in Rimuna. And that night, Gopal appeared to him in a dream again. And he said that Gopinath and I are not different. So if you prepare the sandalwood pulp with camphor and apply it to the deity of Gopinath, I will feel cooled and refreshed. Now, the reason Gopal gave this instruction to Madhavendra Puri is because he didn't want Madhavendra Puri to have to endure so much difficulty on the way. He already had endured tremendous difficulty. You could say he passed Gopal's test. And after he passed Gopal's test, Gopal didn't want him to have to carry that huge load, I think 82 pounds of sandalwood, 8 ounces of camphor. Not the camphor we get, which is not usually pure camphor. And so he spent the rainy season in Ramuna, attending to the service of Gopinath with the knowledge that by smearing the sandalwood pulp and camphor on the body of Gopinath, Gopal at Govardhan would feel cool and refreshed. So now we will come to the end of Madhavendra Puri's life, and today we are observing his disappearance day. And the description of the end of his life is very instructive, and we can learn a lot from it. So I will read. It's not a very long section. And here we come to understand the value of selfless service to the spiritual master, as well as the consequences of committing offenses against the spiritual master. So, just a little background to this narration. Madhavendra Puri had two disciples who were recipients of his mercy at the end. One was Ishwara Puri, who was blessed by him for his service, and he developed ecstatic love for Krishna. And the other was Ramachandra Puri. Ramachandra Puri offended his spiritual master, and as a result became materially inclined and found fault with devotees and committed more offenses. So then, in that context, how did Ramachandra Puri become such a fault finder? How did he become so fault? So, Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Antilila Chapter 8. Ramachandra Puri criticizes the Lord. Text 18. Formerly, when Madhavendra Puri was at the last stage of his life, Ramachandra Puri came to where he was staying. Madhavendra Puri was chanting the holy name of Krishna, and sometimes he would cry, "Oh my Lord, I did not get shelter at Mathura." Ramachandra Puri was so foolish that he fearlessly dared to instruct his spiritual master. Tumi Purna Brahmananda Karaha Smarana Brahmavitana Kene Karaha Rodana. If you are in full transcendental bliss, he said, you should now remember only Brahman. Why are you crying? Purport. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmabhuta Prasanatma, a Brahman realized person is always happy, na sochati na kangshati. He neither laments nor aspires for anything. Not knowing why Madhavendra Puri was crying, Ramachandra Puri tried to become his advisor. Thus he committed a great offense. For a disciple should never try to instruct his spiritual master. So we've discussed this verse, Brahmabhuta Prasanatmana Sochati Nakamshati. So, Nasochati Nakamshati means that one who is on the Brahman platform, he doesn't lament for anything material or hanker for anything material. But there's an elevated transcendental platform in the liberated stage when one hankers for the service of Krishna and one laments one's inability to attain Krishna, attain the service of Krishna. So because Ramachandra Puri was a latent impersonalist, he could not understand spiritual hankering and lamentation. And he was so foolish and so illusioned, he thought that he was in a position to instruct his spiritual master. He thought that he was more firmly situated in Brahman and that he could advise his spiritual master not to lament. Suni Madhavendra Mane Krodha Upajila Dura Dura Papishta Bale Bartsana Karila. Hearing this instruction, Madhavendra Puri, greatly angry, rebuked him by saying, "Get out, you sinful rascal." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Ramachandra Puri could not understand that his spiritual master, Madhavendra Puri, was feeling transcendental separation. His lamentation was not material. Rather, it proceeded from the highest stage of ecstatic love of Krishna. When he was crying in separation, "I could not achieve Krishna. I could not reach Mathura." This was not ordinary material lamentation. Ramachandra Puri was not sufficiently expert to understand the feelings of Madhavendra Puri. But nevertheless, he thought himself very advanced. Therefore, regarding Madhavendra Puri's expressions as ordinary material lamentation, he advised him to remember Brahman because he was latently an impersonalist. Madhavendra Puri understood Ramachandra Puri's position as a great fool and therefore immediately rebuked him. Such a reprimand from the spiritual master is certainly for the betterment of the disciple. There was a very interesting conversation with Srila Prabhupada and Juhu. In which one disciple asked Srila Prabhupada about the consciousness of a person when he becomes perfect. And Srila Prabhupada replied that one who thinks he's perfect is a rascal. A liberated soul never thinks he's perfect. A perfect devotee never thinks he's perfect. And then he quoted Lord Chaitanya with his spiritual master, Ishvara Puri. Ishvara Puri had instructed Lord Chaitanya that you are not fit to study Vedanta. You should just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, of course, Lord Chaitanya was Krishna himself, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but even otherwise, he was the greatest scholar in India. He was known as Nimai Pandit. But because in Kali Yuga, people with no qualification will try to indulge in the study of Vedanta, Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master instructed him, do not touch Vedanta. Just chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And Lord Chaitanya spoke these words, Guru Mora Murki Deki Karila Shashana, that my spiritual master saw me as a fool and he chastised me. So Srila Prabhupada quoted this verse in that conversation and said that a liberated soul never thinks he's perfect. A pure devotee never thinks he's perfect. But he always feels himself to be a fool before his spiritual master and is ready to be chastised by him. And as soon as he thinks he's perfect, then he's fallen. In this case, Ramachandra Puri sets the opposite example. The pure devotee feels himself to be a fool, but because he feels himself to be a fool and is always ready to be chastised by his spiritual master, he's perfect because he's always being guided by his spiritual master. And as soon as he thinks he's perfect, then he's fallen. So Ramachandra Puri, unfortunately, thought he was more advanced than his spiritual master, more learned than his spiritual master. He actually was a fool, and his spiritual master chastised him. Mori murka na dekabi tuiyao ya titati tore deki maila mora habe asadgati. Don't show your face to me. Go anywhere else you like. If I die seeing your face, I will not achieve the destination of my life. I am dying without achieving the shelter of Krishna, and therefore I am greatly unhappy. Now this condemned foolish rascal has come to instruct me about Brahman. Eye Sri Madhavendra Sri Pad Upeksha Karila Se Aparade Inhara Vasana Janmila. Ramachandra Puri was thus denounced by Madhavendra Puri. Due to his offense, gradually material desire appeared within him. Purport. The word vasana, material desires, also refers to dry speculative knowledge. Such speculative knowledge is only material, as confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4. A person without devotional service who simply wants to know things, kevala bodha labdhyate, gains only dry speculative knowledge, but no spiritual profit. This is confirmed in the Bhakti Sandarbha 1.11, wherein it is said, Jivan mukta api purnar yanti samsara vasanam yad yachintya mahashakto bhagavatya paradinaha. Even though one is liberated in this life, if one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down in the midst of material desires, of which dry speculation about spiritual realization is one. In his Lagutoshani commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam 10.2.32, that was the verse I referred to, Patantiyada, falls down again. Jiva Goswami says, Jivan mukta api purnar bandhanam yanti karmabhi yadyachinta mahashakto bhagavatya paradinaha. Even if one is liberated in this life, he becomes addicted to material desires because of offenses to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A similar quotation from one of the Puranas also appears in the Vishnu Bhakti Chandrodaya. Jivan mukta prapadyante kvachit samsara vasanam yogino na vilipyante karmabir bhagavat para. Even liberated souls sometimes fall down to material desires. But those who fully engage in devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead are not affected by such desires. These are references from authoritative revealed scriptures. If one becomes an offender to his spiritual master or the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he falls down to the material platform to merely speculate. Shuksha Brahma Jnani Nahi Krishnera Sambandha Sarvaloka Nindakare Nindate Nirbandha. One who is attached to dry speculative knowledge has no relationship with Krishna. His occupation is criticizing Vaishnavas. Thus he is situated in criticism. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur has explained in his Anubhasya that the word Nirbandha indicates that Ramachandra Puri had a steady desire to criticize others. Impersonalist Mayavadis, who have no relationship with Krishna, who cannot take to devotional service, and who simply engage in material arguments to understand Brahman, regard devotional service to Krishna as karma kanda, or fruitive activities. According to them, devotional service is but another means for attaining Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Therefore, they criticize the devotees for engaging in material activities. I just thought of an incident. Someone told me that someone here was saying, like, what good is all this chanting you're doing? You should do service. They think that devotional service is maya, and that Krishna or Vishnu is also maya. Therefore, they are called mayavadis. Such a mentality awakens in a person who is an offender to Krishna and his devotees. Text 28. Ishwara Puri. Now, here we see the other example. How Ishwara Puri took care of his spiritual master at the last phase of life. Ishwara Puri, the spiritual master of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, performed service to Madhavendra Puri, cleaning up his stool and urine with his own hand. Ishwara Puri was always chanting the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna for Madhavendra Puri to hear. In this way, he helped Madhavendra Puri remember the holy name and pastimes of Lord Krishna at the time of death. Pleased with Ishwara Puri, Madhavendra Puri embraced him and gave him the benediction that he would become a great devotee and lover of Krishna. Thus, Ishwara Puri became like an ocean of ecstatic love for Krishna, whereas Ramachandra Puri became a dry speculator and a critic of everyone else. Ishwara Puri received the blessing of Madhavendra Puri, whereas Ramachandra Puri received a rebuke from him. Therefore, these two persons, Ishwara Puri and Ramachandra Puri, are examples of the objects of a great personality's benediction and punishment. Madhavendra Puri instructed the entire world by presenting these two examples. His divine grace, Madhavendra Puri, the spiritual master of the entire world, thus distributed ecstatic love for Krishna. While passing away from the material world, he chanted the following verse. Ayi dina dayadra nathate, mathura natha kadava lokshaye, Hridayam tad aloka kataram, daita brahmyati kim karomyaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? This is such a high verse. This verse actually expresses the feelings of Srimati Radharani when Krishna left Vrindavan and went to Mathura. E shloke Krishna prema kare upadesha Krishnera virahe bhaktera bhava vishesha. In this verse, Madhavendra Puri teaches how to achieve ecstatic love for Krishna. By feeling separation from Krishna, one becomes spiritually situated. Madhavendra Puri sowed the seed of ecstatic love for Krishna within this material world and then departed. That seed later became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have incidentally described the passing away of Madhavendra Puri. Anyone who hears this must be considered very fortunate. So, this verse is so significant. It expresses the mood of Srimati Radharani and separation from Krishna. And Madhavendra Puri was the first in the line in more recent times to exhibit that mood. And as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, that the seed of devotional service and separation from Krishna was passed on to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through disciplic succession, through Ishwara Puri. The seed became a great tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya, when he was walking from Bengal to Jagannath Puri with Lord Nityananda and some of his other associates, stopped at the temple of Gopinath in Ramuna and told the story of Madhavendra Puri as he had heard it from his spiritual master. Who's his spiritual master? Ishwara Puri. And who's Ishwara Puri's spiritual master? Very good. And at the end of telling the story of Madhavendra Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this verse. And now we'll read a little bit more about that verse. Let us read a few. Few verses to lead up to it. Sri Gopal, who is Gopal? Yes, the deity of Krishna who appeared to Madhavendra Puri in his dream at Govardhan and asked him to take him out of the bushes and install him in worship on the top of Govardhan Hill. And yes, he's known as Srinathji. Sri Gopal wanted to show how intensely Madhavendra Puri loved Krishna. Therefore, he asked him to go to Neelachal to fetch sandalwood and camphor. With great trouble and after much labor, Madhavendra Puri brought the load of sandalwood to Ramuna. However, he was still very pleased. He discounted all the difficulties. To test the intense love of Madhavendra Puri, Gopal, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, ordered him to bring sandalwood from Neelachal. And when Madhavendra Puri passed this examination, the Lord became very merciful to him. Such behavior exhibited in loving service between the devotee and the devotee's lovable object, Sri Krishna, is transcendental. It is not possible for a common man to understand. Common men do not even have the capacity. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read the famous verse of Madhavendra Puri. That verse is just like the moon. It has spread illumination all over the world. By continuous rubbing, the aroma of Malaya sandalwood increases. Similarly, by considering this verse, its importance increases. As the Kaustubha Mani is considered the most precious of valuable stones, this verse is similarly considered the best of mellow poems. Actually, this verse was spoken by Srimati Radharani herself, and by her mercy only was it manifest in the words of Madhavendra Puri. Only Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tasted the poetry of this verse. No fourth person is capable of understanding it. So who are the three? Yes. Srimati Radharani, Madhavendra Puri, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No fourth person. Madhavendra Puri recited this verse again and again at the end of his material existence. Thus uttering this verse, he attained the ultimate goal of life. Ai dina dayadranatha he mathura natha kadava loktaye hridayam twad aloka kataram daitya brahmyati kim karomyaham. O my Lord, O most merciful Master, O Master of Mathura, when shall I see you again? Because of my not seeing you, my agitated heart has become unsteady. O most beloved one, what shall I do now? Purport. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas or transcendental parties. So here Vedanta philosophy is mentioned in the context of the Sat Darshan, six schools of philosophical thought in India. So that the followers of Vedanta philosophy in this context refers to the Vaishnavas, because that's the true understanding of Vedanta. Veda means knowledge, and anta means the end or goal. And in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Vedaishta sarvayar aham eva vedyo, that the purpose of all the Vedas is to know me. Vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. Vedanta krit, I'm the knower of Vedanta. Krishna knows Vedanta, so what he speaks in the Bhagavad Gita is not different from Vedanta. Vedanta krit vedavit eva chaham. Purport. The uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy are divided into four sampradayas or transcendental parties. This is a very important point that even liberated souls are submissive and subordinate and obedient to the scripture and to their spiritual master. And again, the example is Lord Chaitanya. When when Ishwarapuri told him, you know, that you are not fit to touch Vedanta, you should just chant the holy name, Lord Chaitanya accepted the instruction. He didn't argue. And he followed the instruction. And after some time, he came back to his spiritual master and said, I have been following your instructions. But by following your instruction, I feel that I'm becoming mad. Sometimes I laugh, sometimes I cry, sometimes I roll on the ground, sometimes I dance like a madman without caring for others. I don't know what kind of a mantra you have given me, or what is the effect of my chanting the mantra. And Lord Chaitanya's spiritual master said, I'm very pleased with you because you are exhibiting symptoms of ecstatic love for Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada explains that these symptoms are possible only on the liberated platform. Such symptoms are not possible for conditioned souls. So even though Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was on the liberated platform, he still consulted his spiritual master. That's the point, that one is always the servant of the spiritual master. One is eternally the servant of the spiritual master, even when one is liberated. And the same is true of Ishwarapuri. He was also highly elevated in devotional service, but he served his spiritual master as a menial servant, cleaning his stool and urine with his own hand. But he was so advanced that he was encouraging Madhavendra Puri in his mood of devotion by reciting relevant passages from scripture. So just this one line, the uncontaminated devotees, it means liberated or the uncontaminated devotees who strictly depend on the Vedanta philosophy. It's not that, okay, I'm liberated, so now I don't have to. Shastra, actually the word shastra comes from the root, shastatu, the same root as shastra, which means, astra, which means weapon. And they both convey the idea of control, that if someone is not controlled by shastra, by scripture, then he must be controlled by astra, by weapons. So we always are under control, even when we're liberated, we're under control of sadhu, shastra, guru, vakya. Out of the four sampradayas, the Sri Madhvacharya sampradaya was accepted by Madhavendra Puri. Thus he took sannyas according to parampara, the disciplic succession. Beginning from Madhvacharya down to the spiritual master of Madhavendra Puri, the acharya named Lakshmipati, there was no realization of devotional service in conjugal love. Srimadavendra Puri introduced the conception of conjugal love for the first time in the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. And this conclusion of the Madhvacharya Sampradaya was revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he toured southern India and met the Tattvavadis, who supposedly belonged to the Madhvacharya Sampradaya. Now, Srila Prabhupada explains the inner mood of the verse of Madhavendra Puri. When Sri Krishna left Vrindavan and accepted the kingdom of Mathura, Srimati Radharani, out of ecstatic feelings of separation, expressed how Krishna can be loved in separation. Thus, devotional service and separation is central to this verse. Worship in separation is considered by the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya to be the topmost level of devotional service. According to this conception, the devotee thinks himself as very poor and neglected by the Lord. Thus he addresses the Lord as Dina Dayadra Nath, as did Madhavendra Puri. Such an ecstatic feeling is the highest form of devotional service. Because Krishna had gone to Mathura, Srimati Radharani was very much affected, and she expressed herself thus: "My dear Lord, because of your separation, my mind has become overly agitated. Now tell me, what can I do? I am very poor, and you are very merciful, so kindly have compassion upon me, and let me know when I shall see you." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was always expressing the ecstatic emotions of Srimati Radharani that she exhibited when she saw Uddhava at Vrindavan. Similar feelings experienced by Madhavendra Puri are expressed in this verse. Therefore, Vaishnavas in the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya say that the ecstatic feelings experienced by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during his appearance came from Sri Madhavendra Puri through Ishwara Puri. All the devotees in the line of the Gaudiya Madhva Sampradaya accept these principles of devotional service. So this is a very elevated topic, the moods of Srimati Radharani and Srimadavendra Puri and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But the mood of separation has been passed down through disciplic succession from Lord Chaitanya to his followers, especially the six Goswamis. Hey Rad, hey Vrajadevike, Chalalite, hey Nanda Suno Kutaha, Sri Govardhana Kalpa Kalpa Patare, Kalindi Vanye Kutaha. The six Goswamis were always wandering about Vrindavan, searching for Radha and Krishna and their associates, and shouting very loudly, "O Radharani, O Krishna, son of Nanda, O Lalita, where are you? Are you on the banks of the Jamuna or are you at Govardhan Hill? These were their moods in executing devotional service. So we are meant to feel separation, but you can feel separation only when you have some attachment for the person. Then you can feel separation. If you have no care for the person, you won't feel separation. And generally those feelings begin with the spiritual master. And when one becomes more mature, then one has those feelings for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then even more mature, one has those feelings for Radha and Krishna. But we can't jump over the disciplic succession or the orders of the spiritual master to such high sentiments. And although their descriptions of Madhavendra Puri's ecstatic symptoms, even Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic symptoms, but when devotees preach, they don't exhibit such symptoms when they're in public. They don't exhibit such symptoms, and they don't really discuss such topics. Today is a special occasion, so we're taking the liberty to discuss them, but otherwise we don't. I recently heard a conversation in which some maybe young man met Srila Prabhupada in Hyderabad, India, and he asked Srila Prabhupada about Radharani. And Srila Prabhupada said, "Why are you bringing Radharani? Does Krishna mention Radharani anywhere in the Bhagavad Gita? Why are you bringing Radharani? First you understand Bhagavad Gita properly." He said that is a very personal, a confidential matter, Krishna and Radharani. But first you understand the Bhagavad Gita. Why are you bringing Radharani? So Srila Prabhupada was very aware of the science. There's a systematic progression, beginning from the subject of the Bhagavad Gita and the subject of the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, then Srimad Bhagavatam, and even more advanced than Srimad Bhagavatam is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But because it is a special occasion, we have read about this very important but confidential topic. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited this verse, he immediately fell to the ground unconscious. He was overwhelmed and had no control over himself. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell to the ground in ecstatic love, Lord Nityananda took him on his lap. Crying, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then got up again. Exhibiting ecstatic emotions, the Lord began to run here and there, making resounding noises. Sometimes he laughed and sometimes cried, and sometimes danced and sang. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not recite the whole verse. He simply said, "Aidina, Aidina," repeatedly. Thus he could not speak, and profuse tears were in his eyes. Trembling, perspiration, jubilant tears, shock, fading of the bodily luster, disappointment, moroseness, loss of memory, pride, joy, and humility were all visible in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body. So these are all ecstatic symptoms. The words correspond to symptoms or sentiments that conditioned souls experience. But these are referring to ecstatic symptoms on the liberated platform. And even those that are beyond even liberated jivas, so some of these were only possible for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani. Purport. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, jagya is explained as loss of memory brought about by severe shock due to separation from the beloved. In that state of mind, one loses all concern for loss and gain, hearing and seeing, as well as all other considerations. Text 203. E shloke ugadila premera kapata gopinatha sevaka deki prabhura premanatha. This verse uncovered the door of ecstatic love. And when it was exhibited, all the servants of Gopinath saw Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dance in ecstasy. When many people crowded around Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he regained his external senses. In the meantime, the offering to the deity had been finished, and there was a resounding arati performance. When the deities were laid down to rest, the priest came out of the temple and offered all 12 pots of sweet rice to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When all the pots of sweet rice, remnants left by Gopinath, were placed before Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he became very pleased. In order to feed the devotees, he accepted 5 of them. The 7 remaining pots were pushed forward and delivered to the priest. Then the 5 pots of sweet rice the Lord had accepted were distributed among the 5 devotees, and they ate the prasad. Being identical with the Gopinath deity, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already tasted and eaten the pots of sweet rice. Yet just to manifest devotional service, he again ate the pots of sweet rice as a devotee. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed the night at the temple engaged in congregational chanting. In the morning, after seeing the Mangal Arati performance, he departed. In this way, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally tasted with his own mouth the transcendental qualities of Gopalaji, Gopinath, and Sri Madhavendra Puri. Thus I have described both the transcendental glories of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's affection for his devotees and the highest limit of ecstatic love of God. The highest limit. One who hears this narration with faith and devotion attains the treasure of love of Godhead at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. Sri Rupa Raghunatha Padayara Asha, Chaitanya Charitamrita Kahe Krishna Dasa. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Sri Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, 4th chapter, describing Srimadavendra Puri's devotional service. Are there any questions or comments? Yes, Chaitanya Das.
What is the eternal position of Madhavendra Puri? Because he understands the mood of Radha.
He's a very special devotee. Very special devotee. I mean, it's said that he's an incarnation of the desire tree, but I mean, I'm not sure what that means. He gave the seed of this ecstatic love, and that seed grew into a tree in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Acharya Sampradaya, this sentiment was not present before. It just first manifested in Madhavendra Puri, right?
Well, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna himself. Krishna is the beginning of all of the Sampradayas. And just as, say, the Madhva Sampradaya comes from Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma received knowledge from Krishna. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says that just as Lord Krishna instructed Brahma in transcendental knowledge, so Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna, instructed Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. So certainly he is the same Krishna, like we read, he's the same Krishna. So he could start his own sampradaya. But because he was playing the part of a devotee, he had to set the example, so he accepted a spiritual master. And that spiritual master was a disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And somehow by some divine arrangement, Madhavendra Puri was given access to this special mood of conjugal love and separation. So there's truth to what you said. It's just like it's on sampradaya, and to establish the principle of parampara, because Lord Chaitanya was playing the part of a devotee, he also accepted a spiritual master in the disciplic succession.
When we read the scripture, we come across so many.
Some disciples were discussing with Srila Prabhupada about spiritual master. And one of them raised the question that what does it mean that the spiritual master knows everything? And Srila Prabhupada replied, it means he knows what his spiritual master taught him. Not that much. You know, if we can be like fixed in understanding, you know, our immediate spiritual master and Srila Prabhupada and following their instructions, I think that's a good beginning. It's a good foundation. You know, everything depends on faith, Ado Shraddha, and all these developments, Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu, Sangha, Tata Bhajana, Kriya, Narthana, Vritti, Syatman, they're all just further developments of faith. So if we don't really have faith, we can read all these books. I mean, anyone can go to Ras Bihari Lalal and Sons and Loy Bazaar and you can get anything and read them. But if you don't really have faith, it won't help. It's like once Srila Gurudev Tamal Krishna Goswami said that, yeah, we can talk about the gopis, but do we actually believe they exist? You know, do we actually believe that Krishna exists? You know, that's manifest in our practical behavior, whether we have that faith or not. Otherwise, it's just sort of on the mental platform. So, to answer your question, I think just that first statement that I quoted from Srila Prabhupada, knows everything, means he knows as much as his spiritual master has taught him. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, read about Srila Prabhupada was very practical. Tamal Krishna Goswami was very practical. They wanted results right here and now. I like that when His Holiness Niranjan Swami was staying with me and we were watching the following Srila Prabhupada series, and Srila Prabhupada was going to Vrindavan for the first time with his disciples after returning to India. And all the disciples were waiting for him to say something, like reveal something, confidential, speak about Krishna's pastimes. So they were riding on the bus from Delhi to Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was just quietly chanting japa, he wasn't talking. And then at a certain stage, you know, he cleared his throat. It's like it was obvious he was going to speak. And the disciples became very eager. You know, what is Prabhupada going to say? He's taking them to Vrindavan for the first time. So he cleared his throat and said, cement. We have to get cement. He's talking about the construction. And, you know, when I was watching this with Niranjan Swami, when he heard that, he just said, you know, Prabhupada, like so practical and just so absorbed in the mission. So, Prabhupada said, work now, samadhi later. It's nice if someone has taste, but the mood of selfless service was demonstrated by Madhavendra Puri. He dropped everything and left Vrindavan and walked to Jagannath Puri and, you know, went through the whole process of getting the permits to get all the materials. In other words, yeah, he was thinking of Krishna and Vrindavan, but he was acting in this world for the sake of the deity, and he was doing all sorts of practical things for the sake of the deity, and that's how he showed his love. like Prabhupada writes in the Nectar of Instruction, you know, devotional service or Krishna consciousness is not a matter of idle speculation, but it's practical service. So you know, I mean, yeah, there's so many personalities in Chaitanya Charitamrita and Srimad Bhagavatam and the spiritual world and all the books of the Goswamis. But we have Radha and Krishna right here. We have Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu right here. So, you know, instead of thinking about all those people out there somewhere, let's start with who we are now and who we have here with us. And, you know, I think everything will come in due course. And that was, you know, Prabhupada's faith and Prabhupada's mood and Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura's faith and mood. There are others around who, you know, speak more openly about these topics, but Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati Thakura and Śrīla Prabhupāda, they did a little, I think we, like Prabhupāda said, your love for me will be shown by how much you cooperate after I leave, and that's how we show our love, by, you know, working cooperatively and following the instructions and, you know, making the sacrifices required to establish the mission solidly. I was at one devotee's home and he had the Srila Prabhupada photo book. Like recently we had published for Srila Gurudev, and I was looking through it, and you know, there are so many pictures of Srila Prabhupada with the children. You know, how he cared for the children and established schools for the children. Then pictures of Srila Prabhupada with deities, you know, installing deities, worshipping deities. Then Srila Prabhupada laying cornerstones and, you know, looking at the construction sites in different places. Then Srila Prabhupada visiting the press, seeing the new books. Srila Prabhupada talking with people. Srila Prabhupada giving initiations. Srila Prabhupada singing. I mean, it's like just amazing how much he did. He did everything. It's not that he neglected anything. He did everything. He was so concerned for every area of devotional service, the deities, the lives of the devotees, establishing temples, publishing books. You know, we can't do everything that Srila Prabhupada did, we can't do everything that Tamal Krishna Goswami did, but we can try to follow in their footsteps and follow their instructions and you know, maybe just, yeah, going to Vrindavan, thinking of cement. Gotta get cement. Any other questions or comments?
Maharaj, you mentioned about you should not discuss on a regular basis very confidential topic like this. So can you please elaborate on who should and when one should discuss this topic?
That is a very good question. Well, there's degrees of confidential. Like the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called the most confidential knowledge, because it says that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and you should become his devotee. So that's, you know, the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita is you're not this body, you know, karma yoga, jnana yoga, and astanga yoga, and then bhakti yoga, and then finally, you know, bhakti yoga to Krishna in particular. So that's like very confidential from a certain point of view. And then Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are like more confidential. I mean, Krishna says, surrender to me, then we have like the nectar of devotion. That's the next level. And then sort of deep in the nectar of devotion, you get into rasa. You know, it's different rasas. And that's like quite advanced. And then Srimad Bhagavatam, and in Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto is very confidential. And then what we're reading is even more confidential than what's in Srimad Bhagavatam. So, I mean, His Holiness Shivaram Swami has written a whole book called Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani, specifically to address the issue of the questions that you ask. Like, how does one know when one is ready for what level of topic? It's a very elaborate discussion in the book. But, I mean, in plain language, Srila Prabhupada said that the desire to, you know, follow in the footsteps of one of the residents of Vrindavan comes after the stage of anartha nivritti, you know, after one is cleared of anarthas. And we can sort of see, you know, to what extent we have anarthas. I think if you listen to Srila Prabhupada's lectures, sort of get it. It's not that he doesn't talk about Krishna and Vrindavan, or Krishna and the cowherd boys, Krishna and the gopis, but he does it in a certain proportion. So in general, when we preach, we should preach the way Prabhupada did. You know, really, mainly Bhagavad Gita, because most people, they don't know they're not the body. I mean, even people who are devotees, you know, when they may still be on the material platform and identify with the body. And you can see it, it's sort of, because they sort of like associate with people based on the body. You know, they associate with people of their group, their community. So that, I mean, it's sort of natural in a way, but in a way it could indicate that there's still that some identification with the body. Where Srila Prabhupada, he could go anywhere in the world and he could relate to anyone. Even Srila Gurudev, hearing the stories about him, how he had friends of, you know, blacks, whites, Chinese, I mean, all the advanced devotees are like that. They can go all over the world and feel comfortable with people. Because they don't identify with the body. They see the soul and relate to people on the basis of the soul. You know, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, black, white, yellow. So when you're really sort of getting beyond the bodily platform, then you know, you see everyone as soul, you see everyone as potential servant of Krishna.
So when he asked Prabhupada, what did I do? Was it right or wrong to ask him? So Prabhupada told him, why are you making such a big fuss? Prabhupada's almost embarrassed, like in a very embarrassed tone.
Yeah.
It looks like Prabhupada went through great pains to hide his ecstasy because people would take it cheaply and then everybody would start.
Yeah. Imitate.
So Prabhupada was so perfect in everything, even though he was in the highest platform. He took great pains not to make things look cheap. So, such a
very true. Very true.
Well, can you share that with me?
Yeah. Well, when the Vrindavan temple opened, Srila Prabhupada really wanted it to be well managed, you know. And he was just seeing faults everywhere. The devotees weren't seeing it. You know, he was seeing faults everywhere. So one thing that he wanted established was that the chokidar would ring the bell every hour on the hour. And that would sort of call people's attention to the temple. And it would make... It would also ensure that the chokidar wasn't sleeping. And that he was paying attention. Yeah. So he was supposed to ring the bell. Yeah. According to the hour, he would ring the bell that many times. And then on the half hour, he would just ring it once. And it wasn't happening. And Srila Prabhupada kept... like grilling the managers. What, you know, why isn't the bell ringing on time? What's the matter? Why can't you get them to ring the bell on time? And he was asking for suggestions, you know, what can you do so that the bell will ring on time? And then one of the devotees said, I think we just have to become more Krishna conscious. And Srila Prabhupada said, another impractical proposal. I'll work on my schedule. Of course, I'll be here for Gaur Purnima, and I'll speak a few more times. We'll work out the details. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premyandi.